whole winter day. Good time to be here, though. Let me see. Amen. How about page 13? Will that stand? Page 13.
Imagine that. It happened to us. Huh. Okay.
what? It's not in our ring right now.
There you go.
No.
I got it up here.
On oh, you do that.
It's okay. It's okay.
Let's just pick another one. Mom.
Let's just do that. How about...
Hey, don't are you faithful or something?
Let's do that. 105. Yeah. 105, please. Then maybe somebody else help me sing. Maybe like that.
Thank you.
a song I like myself. Blessed to bring it to you today. But before I do that, I'm going to read you something here out of Luke chapter 1, 26 through 31. And in the sixth month, an angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city from Galilee, or of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy could save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy would come to make you new? The child that you delivered would soon deliver you. Oh, Mary, did you know that your baby boy sight to the blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy walks where angels trod? When you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God. The blind
as always, we know that the Bible has many answers to that. And really, the Bible, am I turned on here? I'm on here. Sounds, I guess, all right. The Bible has answers to all things, but in some ways, it is limited because we don't really know. Kim, I might need this at home when I have to do some yelling at the cattle or something. Yeah. More amplification. Yes.
And each year we try to give just a little bit of a present to him. let them know how much we appreciate and love them. And I just want to present it to them now. So, give it to her.
Well, Lonnie, yeah, because really, you don't have anything as a pastor if you don't have a good pastor's wife. So, thank you, folks. We're not worthy of it. We enjoy serving the Lord here at Fruitland. Oh, there's times, but no. But, you know, it's a long time we've been doing this. It's a miracle you put up with people like us. But we do love you, folks. Thank you. You don't have to give us anything. We're blessed just to be here, like I say. Kim, do you want to say any words? What's that? Oh, you should have said, get a hearing aid, John. But, you know, seriously, if you don't have a pastor's wife that's on track with things, you're in trouble. And I want to just say I'm thankful for our pastor's wife. And, yep. Thank you so much. That was very kind. Seriously, though, that we're not worth that. So, anyway, praise the Lord. Now, what was I going to talk about here? Oh, yeah. How much did Mary know? Well, you know, the scriptures don't really record anything even about her death or what took place much after the cross. But I think we can safely assume this, that Mary, obviously, from what scripture tells us, did not know the whole outcome of how things were going. But I think as she lived and Jesus grew, she knew much more what was going on. And I believe she knew at the cross that Jesus was the Messiah. Now, of course, the angel told her that he was to be a holy thing, and you can recount that. By the way, we'll come back next week and look at the Christmas story in the morning service. But it's like with all of us. We grow in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ as we grow with him. And Mary was no different than any other person. She was a chosen vessel that God used to bring his son in the incarnation that's in the flesh. So that's a great thing to ponder. Thank you, Jason, for that reminder. I do trust that we're all having some contemplative moments during this season where we celebrate the birth, and that you're taking some time out maybe to sit in the bask and glow of the Christmas lights. Kim and I were honored Friday evening when we went to my alma mater, Festival of Carols, and that's on the backboard. Stayed overnight with our daughter and son-in-law and enjoyed that little junket very much. And I admit, maybe some of the rest of you can come clean. Sometimes I have a hard time getting into the Christmas spirit. Is that just me? But we ought to be in that spirit all the time, shouldn't we? And the Lord's working on me. And I think that we all could agree today, life is very hectic and it's very difficult for many people. And sometimes because we make it that way. But I do pray that the Lord will draw you close to him and that you'll seek him as well this time of the year and in all times. But draw close to him this year and make this a special time. You never know if we're going to have many more of these times left. We don't know, do we? Yeah. So we want to be appreciative of what we have and what he's blessed us with. I got to make a couple quick other announcements this morning as well. First of all, I have a flyer, and we don't have a slide. We should have. We're going to have some new Sunday school programming here after the first of the year, starting the 7th. I've tried to get around to several of you this morning, and that involves a new class, and it's kind of a freewheeling class where it's called the Inquisitors, and it's just questions that you may have about the Christian faith or any other questions that you might have that we can throw on the table. I'll have a format, but it's very informal, and I just invite people to come back to Sunday school or to come to Sunday school for the first time because it's a valuable asset. And we're doing some tuning. Lonnie will talk about this more in the upcoming weeks. He's our Sunday school superintendent, but we're doing a little tune-up, some changes in our Sunday school program. We want to emphasize that, again, the potential there to receive education and have a platform for discussion. This is very important in the day that we live today. And so if you thirst for that or if you think that might be beneficial in your life, we invite you to that. We also are going to have an extended time. We're changing our times very briefly, but our morning worship will not begin till 10:45 after the first on the 7th. That's when this will begin of the new year, should the Lord tarry. And we will have a time when we break at 10:15. From Sunday school. It's going to be called Connect Time, and we're going to have some food and refreshments. or maybe you can even sit down with someone for 10 minutes and just talk to them about what's going on in your life or maybe what you've learned that morning. This is open to people. If you don't choose to come to Sunday school, come on ahead and have a refreshment with us before the morning worship service, or vice versa. But we want to make this a more open, friendly, user-friendly environment so that we can grow in the knowledge and admonition of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So that's a little bit of what's there. You can talk to myself or Lonnie or some others about those details, but some subtle changes, and we want to invite you to be a part of that. And the last thing, you know, I don't like selling things in church, so I'm not selling these things, but some of you have purchased Henry Morris Study Bibles, and I'm not here to promote those today because it's just another man's opinion, but I did acquire three more of those. The church actually did. And if you're interested in one of those, they're $27, and you can just put that in the plate, or if you don't have the funds, let me know. We'll work something out, but I have three of those on stock again. We picked those up at the bookstore. They finally came in. So some of you are interested in those, and I want you to know that they're there. Now, what did I forget? But thank you again for your kindness. Thank you. Oh, I'm not, Lonnie, because I need it. And you know what? Lonnie and I didn't even get a chance to pray this morning. We got disconnected. That happens sometimes. So we are going to pray. Obviously, there are needs. And there are also, though, what? Victories and praises that ought to be uttered to the Lord, right? Yeah, people have been through a lot this week. So we'll pray about those things now as we begin. Father, we do come before... Oh, Lord, help me. Let's take a minute to adjust our hearts to worship the Lord this morning. In spirit and in truth. Shall we take a few moments, and then I'll follow with the pastoral prayer. O Lord, our Father, we come to you today, Lord, as humble, contrite people, Lord, well aware of the fact of our position in all things, that we are sinners, we are disobedient souls, Lord, before your throne of grace and mercy. We have inherited through our parents, Adam and Eve, the curse that they chose upon themselves when you told them not to, Lord, but they disobeyed. But we're thankful today, Lord, that that is not the end of the story. And what we celebrate is your birth as the babe of the manger of Bethlehem has to do with all that, Lord. You didn't give up on mankind, but you made a way because of your love and grace and tenderness toward sinful man through your Son Jesus that we can come back to your throne. So for that reason, Lord, and many, many more, we extol thee and praise thee and lift thee high today, Lord. We want to come and worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, may our hearts genuinely let you know today we love you. We stand in awe of you. We know that you indeed are the one who created us, the one who again sustains us, and the one who redeemed us. And we thank you for that today, Almighty God, and your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We lift your name high today. Lord, in our humanity, as you know, because you came fully as God but fully human, you know there are struggles. And I just feel that tension here today, Lord, in our lives. Lord, there just is so much that goes on today that disrupts our fellowship with you. Lord, it's very hard even to get a time in our current world where we can get alone with you, where a phone call or a text or some type of interference, Lord, comes into our pathway and disrupts that fellowship with you. I pray this morning, Lord, as we look into your word, that this would not be interrupted by things either here or in our minds, but we would focus on you today, Lord, as we show you your worthiness and allow you to speak to our hearts. Lord, we know of our number that every week there are many people gone, there are difficulties that people are dealing with. Troubles in families, Lord, children, spouses. There could be financial problems, Lord. People may be grieving today, the loss of loved ones, maybe from years back even, Lord. Help us to look forward, though, Lord, to what you have with excitement and enthusiasm. Lord, we know also that there are some that are critically ill. We lift up Marilyn Howard to you today, Lord. We know that she took a fall yesterday. We pray, Lord, that you would superintend over her difficulties in her life. Other things today, Lord, that cannot be uttered, they are personal things. We just ask that you'd come alongside of us today, Lord. Comfort us, reassure us, and encourage us for the days to come as we see your return one day closer. Now, Lord, as we celebrate, we ask that we would also, Lord, very seriously examine where we stand in history and what may yet come before us, because we do not want to miss. Lord, you don't want one person in this room this morning to miss you. And Lord, we just pray today that this message would fall upon the ears and the hearts, if there is a needy one here today who has never come to you and trusted you, Lord, believed on you and trusted forgiveness of sins that's found in you and your shed blood that covers our sins. That's not bound for heaven today, Lord. May that not be the case. May that change today. Well, Lord, there's many things. I pray you'll help me today to bring this message. We just know, Lord, that every time we meet, there's that potential for disruption. And I just pray that you'll give me peace today and the power of the Holy Spirit to communicate what you laid upon my heart. Now we give you this time and thank you for your presence here today. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Very quickly, just a recap of where we're at. We've been talking about the two advents of Christ. One that's already taken place as the babe in the manger. And by the way, it was my intent to preach this whole message in one time. Well, that didn't happen for various reasons. But we'll do our best. But the fact of the matter is that Jesus is coming again. Amen. Hallelujah. We can't get excited enough about that, folks. We don't want to hope and pray for that day to come, though, in the sense, because none of us will be ready. I don't care how far you are in your track with Jesus, and you may be headed for heaven today if you've been brought under His blood and bought under His blood. That's the case, but folks, what's it going to be like when we see Jesus eye to eye? I'm not ready today. He's going to come too soon, folks, for probably all of us. We're going to meet Him too soon if we really stop and contemplate on that. But the point of this message is most people missed His first advent. By the way, He came for Israel in that advent, but in His providential plan, He also came for the non-Israelite. And folks, as far as I know, that's for most of us in this room. We are Gentiles. We are non-Jews. God loved us that much. You know, he and the wrath of a lot of this was not only taken out on Jesus, but it's been taken out on the Jews, His chosen people. And it still goes on today. We need to pray for the salvation of Israel. It's not just military support and things that they need, but they need Jesus. And that's the answer to all these things that are going on today, folks. And in particular, what I'm speaking about this morning really does, in my opinion, and we all differ some about how we see Scripture, but I believe that what we're studying today about His second advent, you know about that if you've come to Fruitland. You know about that if you read your Bible. Jesus is coming again, but He's not coming in grace on the second advent. He's coming in judgment. He came with grace in the first advent when the people wanted judgment on the Roman Empire. Let me just say this, it's easy to miss Jesus if we let ourselves. But you know what? Jesus and the prophets that preceded Him, that God sent into the pathway of humanity, have told the story of Jesus. I wish we just can't cover everything we need to all the time, but we can on our own. But this has all been laid out years ahead. And because of the prophecy that's been fulfilled, which much of that prophecy has been fulfilled, we know this, that God will fulfill all the rest of it in His perfect timing. The key is that we don't miss it. All right, we all got that point today, right? So let's go into our Bibles to Matthew 24 this morning. This is where we ended up. There's prophetic signs. This is the third subpoint of our second point. That some prophetic signs that have been fulfilled and are yet to be fulfilled of His second advent. Now, I kind of glossed over this really quickly, but I just want to highlight something, and then we'll do our best, and we're going to have to conclude on this unless we don't get done, and if we don't, we'll have to come back after the first, well, the last Sunday of the new year. Isn't that right, New Year's Eve? Because next week, I do want to bring the traditional message of the birth of the babe of Bethlehem. But you see, Jesus was getting ready to ascend back to his Father. And he was talking with his disciples, and they had all these questions now that he had gone to the cross, he had died, he was buried, and he rose again the third day. And they said, Jesus, what's going on here? What's coming down in the future? And the first thing they wanted to do was go to the temple with him. And you'll recall, I just want to touch on this very briefly. They were very proud of the temple, God's dwelling place. Again, this was something that was accomplished under Solomon, and it was rebuilt again, and this is the second one here that they're talking about here, but a beautiful building dedicated to the presence of God over the nation of Israel, God's chosen people. By the way, though, don't get off track on that either. God did choose the Israelites, but he also chose you and me, and if you're born again today, folks. I want to stay humble because I tell people all the time, the lower you stay, the less distance there is to fall. Remember that. And there's some truth to that. By the way, our sister Diana, I saw her at Menards. By the way, they have 12% off there, you know. Now, that really threw me for a loop. I saw Diana. I hope she doesn't mind. She fell off of a ladder. I said, oh, how high were you? 2 steps. Praise God. Like I said, it's better to stay low. But anyway, the disciples were showing Jesus the temple, and they were talking about the temple. And Jesus didn't come with a grand response to him. He said, you know what? In a few years, this is all going to be rubble. Turned to rubble. It was a beautiful building made out of white stone. You can read about the history of all that. By the way, that prophecy came to pass just a few years after Jesus died, and it was before the disciples passed into eternity, because in AD 70, guess what happened? The Roman Emperor Titus overran Jerusalem and destroyed the temple. You yet this day can go to Jerusalem and see the broken particles and stones of that structure. And Jesus told him, this is going to happen. Now, it's my contention that verses 1 through 13 here talk about the church age. But some of you don't agree with that, but that's where I'm going to come from on this. But from that point on, what's being talked about is the tribulation period. But know this today, and then I'll leave this park for today. We are in the age of grace. We cannot doubt that today. We are in what's known as the church age. It's the age of whosoever will come to Jesus can be saved. By the way, that word saved means delivered. We can be delivered from our default destruction in hell through the work and the efficacy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? And that's the message that we need to hear today. That's the age that we live in. But there is an age to come that Jesus prophesied about, but also many of the prophets did. And it's a time called the tribulation period. It's a period of 7 years divided into a 3.5 period of tribulation, but another 3.5 year period at the end of that called the Great Tribulation. Folks, I talk to people all the time. Isn't it awful the things that are going on? Yes, it's awful, but folks, it's going to get a lot worse. It's going to get a lot worse. Again, the answer to all this, though, is today, receive Christ as Savior. Know where your destiny is. Know that you'll be with Him. That in our day, when our body and our soul are separated, that your soul will be in His presence until He comes again for His people and the resurrection. By the way, there's several resurrections that are talked about in Scripture. But the resurrection we need to worry about today is the resurrection for those today that have died in Christ during this age of grace. We will be reunited one day with Christ and receive a new glorified body. Yes, the cemeteries will be disrupted, and our old bodies will be raised. We'll be given new bodies. Hallelujah. What a great, blessed thing we have. Folks, share that with people. Share it with them. at this season, this time of the year. All right, into the text this morning. Last week, I started and ended on this section with verse 14. Now, I really believe this, folks, but this is only a belief. You need to study scriptures. This is my opinion of this. But Jesus is beginning to teach about the tribulation period. And what he is telling us is, in the first place, I'll just recap and then we're going to rock and roll. He says, you know what? The gospel is going to be preached to this whole world. Reference verse 14, and the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Folks, that has not been accomplished yet. But I believe, and this is my take on it at least, in the tribulation period this will be accomplished. The gospel is available to everyone today, folks. But there's a certain missing link that I think happens in the tribulation according to what I see in Scripture. And that is, you're going to see Israel saved, those that will be saved. And one of the things that will be the behest of that, by the way, someone asked me that this week, are Jewish people being saved today? And the answer to that is, yes, they're being saved just like we are in the age of whosoever will. They become what? They become Christians, okay? Born-again believers. So yes, by the way, there are several mission organizations at work. We talked with some people at Faith the other night. Their families in Israel right now. You know, we get this idea, oh my, well sure, there's a lot of things happening over there, but folks, it's just like it is. God's work goes on. His program goes on. And there are people getting saved. There are Jews that are getting saved today. But there's going to be a time when there's going to be 144 evangelists. The book of Revelation talks about this. God may have those set aside today. They're going to bring the gospel to Israel, and that nation is wholeheartedly going to turn back to Jesus Christ. They're going to find their Messiah. See? And that's one of the clues. Now, whether we're here or not, I personally don't believe we will be. But if we are, and whoever is here at that time, we'll see that miraculous time. There's going to be a lot of people in the Jewish nation come to Jesus Christ. They're going to realize, we missed him in the first advent, but God won't let them miss again. See, they're going to be preserved. Now, let's go on into the text, and you can talk to me later. But here's another key here, 15. And I, again, my conjecture is this is tribulation. But here's what he says, when you therefore see the abomination of desolation. What is the abomination, or who is the abomination of desolation? We referred to him last week. It's the Antichrist, okay? He's going to be in the temple in Jerusalem because the Israelites are going to make a peace treaty with him for 3.5 years because, you see, again, folks, I'm not a prophet, but I know this, that everything that happens in our world today is pointing to what? To Christ's return. That's how it's been from the very beginning of creation and the fall of man. See, and there's no insignificant event. What's going on in Israel today is not insignificant. And folks, I still think this, and I shouldn't get off on this morning. You might still be experiencing the Ezekiel 38 and 39 war. You can look at that. This thing is not over in the Middle East. You understand what I'm saying? By the way, what's our own nation beginning to do? We're beginning to backpedal. See? Let me tell you, this whole thing started with the basis of Ezekiel 38, a surprise thing that came on Israel. This may not be done yet, folks. I'm saying may, could be. But this is important stuff. Everything that goes on is very important in God's program. Okay? What's that, Lonnie? It does. And that's what God wants us to do because, you know, most of this world is not thinking about Jesus. You know, they're thinking in the flesh. But those of us that are a part of the Spirit, we need to think with spiritual eyes about what could happen. We can't second guess God. God didn't tell us, even through his Son here, precisely how things would happen that we could understand. But I believe, knowing how Jesus has worked in the past, how God has worked in the past, it will be fulfilled exactly as he said. But some of these things are yet shielded from us in perfection. But we ought to be looking, folks. We ought to be looking. Anyway, when you therefore see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso leadeth, let him understand. I think he's talking to Israel here through the disciples because they were Israelites. He said, when this comes, the end is coming. The second coming is coming. And here's what he tells them to do. He says, then let them which be in Judea do what? He's talking about some terrible things that are on the agenda as God's people are turned back to him. He says, let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. That's a sense of what? Urgency. This is disruption that this world is known in places before, but in this case, this is going to be with Israel and the current day nation that's been formed and God dealing with Israel in this time. And these are signs, again, that are given that Jesus is coming again, but this time he's coming as what? A God of wrath and a God of judgment to put down the forces of sin and Satan here in this world. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. By the way, at that point when Jesus taught the disciples, he did not know, as we'll find later in the text, what that day and time and hour was. It had not been revealed to him yet by God the Father. I believe, though, today Jesus, as he is seated at the right hand of God the Father, knows the time or is expecting the time when God the Father says, Jesus, you're going back. And that will be the second coming. That's when he'll come at the end of this period of tribulation, and he will be set up as King of Kings and Lord of Lords on the throne in Jerusalem for a 1,000-year reign. Anyway, there's so much to study. By the way, the technical term for this is called eschatology, study of the end times events. And let me also say this. All the things that we see here involved in this have to do with what's known as the day of the Lord. This is God working his end times program before he ushers in, and I'm waiting for a hallelujah on this, a new heavens and a new earth for eternity future. Glory to God, Dave. Isn't that going to be? I'm shivering here today. I got a chill in my spine thinking of that. Yeah. Yeah. New. By the way, that's the word neos. It means it's going to be a renewed, made like new version of this earth that's been destroyed by fire. Yeah. Okay, but it's going to be put back like it was in Genesis before the fall of man. Hallelujah. No more sin. No more sorrow. No more death. But joy in Christ forever. I hope and pray everyone here today is a part of that future. The rest of it is ugly. It's very ugly. But here's what Jesus says in verse 21. He says it's going to be bad. And he then says, for then, or following this, shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Folks, you can study the book of Revelation. And you look into this. And again, I've brought this forth many times. 92 to 93% of the earth's population will perish in these days. That's what the scriptures tell us. Folks, are you prepared about these things that are coming? Are you thinking about your loved ones, even your enemies? By the way, you couldn't wish your enemies to end up in hell. How could we have that kind of a thought toward fellow man? But folks, it's in our hearts. Today, when we don't witness to people, today when we don't show them these things at least to look at, folks, we're helping them, we're aiding them on their path to eternal destruction. It's so important. And then Jesus gives a little good news even in the midst of bad. And by the way, we don't know how God works in all his ways, but Jesus says, and except those days should be shortened. What I see in that is this, folks, and this is, again is just my opinion, that the world deserved even more of this judgment. But even in his judgment, God has grace and mercy. And he says here, except those days be shortened. I don't think we realize the punishment and the judgment we deserve. He says, except those days should be shortened, there should be what? Read it to me, folks. No flesh saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. That word elector means God's chosen. We can't take this out of the picture either, election and predestination. God chooses people, but we don't know who He chooses till He chooses us. That's how thankful we ought to be here worshiping today, that God chose you and I, if you're here today, under the blood of Christ. Can I hear a hallelujah? I'm going to have to get like the southern preachers. I'm going to get me a white handkerchief. I'll come up with some way to make some sweat. Amen, Dave. Amen. We better be getting excited, folks, because we got a lot of things to be excited about. Yep, that's right. Then if any man, now here's the other kicker here, folks, and we're already seeing this, demonic influence. You know, isn't it 2 Timothy 4:1 says, in the last days, perilous? No, it's 3. We're not going to go there. It's there. But people are going to walk under doctrines of devils and demons. Folks, that's what we're doing today. It's even infiltrated our churches greatly today. We're not what we should be. Anyway, here's what he says. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, that they shall deceive the very elect. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. What Jesus says is, as the age unwinds, deception. Deception and demonic influence will be increasing as time goes by. And I just said it, folks, I believe with all my heart, our churches have been touched by this all the way through to an extent, but even more so today. How many pulpits of so-called churches today, right in our own community, are not professing the whole truths of the Word of God? Even Fruitland Baptist and old Pastor John isn't getting it all right. Amen. I want to get it right. But folks, we've seen this going on before our very eyes. Jesus is coming again. These things he told about to Israel and what would come upon Israel and the other things in this world are coming to pass. They're coming to pass before our very eyes. Now he goes on to talk about his second coming. He says, for as lightning, this is verse 27, cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Folks, when Jesus came as a babe of Bethlehem, he was insignificant to most people. Now, obviously, well, oh, aren't these babies sweet? Aren't they adorable? But to most people, it was a non-event, right? Because what happens every day? People die and pass into eternity, and people are born into this world, right? It's a cycle. But let me tell you something, folks, and you can read this prophetically under the prophets. No one will miss Jesus' second coming in the sense they won't know he came. Because it's going to be dynamic. By the way, what gets your attention like lightning? Well, the thunder that comes when it hits right next to your house or hits your house, because it's instantaneous. Boom! By the way, Martin Luther, I told you this, he got saved during a thunderstorm. Sharp lightning. I've seen our house shake and tremble. You know who I think about first? The Lord. But when Jesus returns, his glory is going to be like lightning. When he descends through those clouds and comes down to this earth and the sword comes out of his mouth, no one's going to miss him, folks. That's what he says here. For wherever the carcass, and he says, you will not miss the coming of the Son of Man. It's going to be a dynamic event that no one will miss. For wherever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those, and by the way, you can read Isaiah, other areas, I believe Ezekiel, Jeremiah, that prophesy this. The blood's going to run, in Revelation, the blood's going to run deep as the horse's bridles. There's going to be carnage like you wouldn't believe. The birds are going to have a feast for a long period of time after this battle of Armageddon when Christ returns as the second advent. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man. By the way, Jesus goes on further in this text. He says there's going to be earthquakes and all kinds of things, but he says that's not the end yet. I think we're living in those days yet. It's not that time yet, but it's on the horizon. It's on the cusp of the future, folks. But the things that are going to take place in this period are going to be dynamic. It's not going to be like the little tremor that we felt here a month or so ago at 4:45 in the morning, and I was awake for her. But it was over in Illinois, but we heard it on the news, of course. You all heard that, right? Yeah. We've had a few quakes around here, though, in the past. Some in the not-too-distant past. And also one back in the 1800s when the Mississippi River changed course. Do you know about that, Devon? It ran backwards. Would I tell you a lie? Well, not intentionally. Folks, there's big things coming. But notice here in verse 30, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of earth mourn. Because you know what? It's going to be too late. I'll never forget when my wife's brother got married in the early, maybe around 81 or 82. And I still have scars from this on my left arm. You know I like to ride trains, so we went to Indianapolis via train, although we didn't get there all the way via train. We got to Chicago Union Station, and as we walked down the platform, because of my negligence, Kim, you want to mention this? There was the train departing, the only train yet that day for Indianapolis. I felt five fingernails. And I think I still have those scars. And Miss Kim, I know you think she's very sweet, but at that particular moment, she said something to the effect, "You get me to Indianapolis any way we can." And when she grits her teeth, whistling and gritting teeth, watch out. We ended up going by bus with some radical folks on the bus. With an every stop bus all the way to Indianapolis. We got there at 4 o'clock in the morning. Anyway, she'll tell you about that story. We have a lot of stories. But folks, when you're too late, you're not going to make the train. One other time I got a speeding ticket in Bluegrass when we were headed to the train at Galesburg. But we'll leave that for another time. And we did make it. If you miss the train, you're too late. What do you suppose that mourn is going to be manifested like when they see Jesus and they know, I didn't do it? You know, most people have heard about Jesus. Most people have rejected Jesus. Most people don't even want to learn about Jesus. That's what I tell people. Do you even know anything about what his book says? Well, no, I think it's a bunch of fables. Oh, yeah? Well, why has it been on the bestseller list? You know, why has it stood the test of time above any other book that's ever been published? It's God's Word. And I want to say, you fool, but I don't dare do that. I challenge. Look and see what it says. Folks, you can't get to the bottom of this in a lifetime. But there's a message in here, and it's about God's love and that He wants you under His care today, folks. Now here we are fighting the clock again. I wanted to get a long way in this. But folks, you can read the rest of Matthew 24. I mean, it is good stuff. As in the days of Noah, that's coming here too. What's going on today is just like the days of Noah. People are going on, doing everything like always, like nothing's coming. Folks, it's like down here in Fruitland when the tornado went through. If you lived, and Teresa and Bill lived right along there, if you'd have known what was going to happen that day, Teresa, what would you have done differently? You might have done something differently. So the point of all this is what? If we know what's coming, there are things we need to be what? Doing. Right? Yeah. You can go all, as it was in the days of Noah. The two servants. Bottom line with this passage. Shall we come back after Christmas? Yeah, okay, one more time. But the bottom line is Jesus told the disciples, watch and be ready. That's the words for us. Now, 2 Thessalonians 2 in 2 minutes or less. 2 Thessalonians 2 in 2 minutes or less. Paul's talking to the church at Thessalonica. You can read about this. I've preached on it many times over the years. But he says, now we beseech you, brethren. That word beseech in the King James means what? I'm begging you, folks, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he's talking here to believers, okay? But he says, brethren, because of the coming of Christ, he says, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. What I want to say about this, folks, is this, is God's timing is perfect. You heard me say this a lot just in the last few weeks. He's right on time all the time. You better know the timetable, because like over there at Chicago Union Station all those years ago, after the marks in my hand, I was wrong. I was wrong. Say it, Kim. You were wrong. She loves that. And Paul's saying, you better have your facts and figures together. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come. And by that way, that's in italics, it's implied, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, I see that as the rapture. Some of you don't. Some of you see it as apostasy in the church. But you can study that through. But the bottom line is, Paul says, there's going to be a massive change in the program. But in general, people are going to be falling away from the Lord in the end times. Revelation compares with that. Revelation 3, the church of Laodicea. I believe we're Laodicean here at Fruitland. I believe most of the churches are Laodicean today. That's my opinion, but that comes from Scripture. Anyway, he goes on. He says, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God? That is who? The Antichrist. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things, and now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. By the way, what I believe he's talking about here, and this is not the important point of this, but what holds things together yet and restrains evil is the ministry of the Holy Spirit through the church. Believe it or not, when people drive by Fruitland Baptist Church this morning and see us gathered here, they are thinking some things in their mind. But one of the things they are thinking, my friends, is that church, if it is indeed a true church, stands against evil. And therefore, I don't want to enter in there because I am involved in what in my life? And it will call me to accountability. Trust me, folks, you agree with me? That's what's going on in people's minds? Who wouldn't want to come in here with people like us? It's not us as much as it is him. See, that's the thing. But here's the thing. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. By the way, the Holy Spirit's ministry will still be in the tribulation. People will be saved. The Israelites will be saved through the calling of the Holy Spirit at the preaching of the gospel. But his ministry through the church will not be here if the church is gone, or it'll be waning if it is, because the church's influence is lost, is being lost, as it is today. And then shall the wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all the power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. By the way, people that are going to die are going to be deceived. They'll be deceived by Satan's ways. And that's what's going on today, folks. The people that perish have been deceived. They've believed the wrong stuff. Anyway, and with verse 10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Now here's my last part of this book, or this chapter, that is the dire warning today, folks. And some people see this controversial. I personally don't. I think it's the way God works, and it's why it's so important today to be delivered, to be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion. Who's being talked about here? It's people today during the age of grace, the age of whosoever will, that hear the gospel and say, it ain't for me. It's the people on the street. I've heard the message, it's not for me. Did you see that in print, folks? God's going to send them strong delusion. Can I explain that? I can't explain it, but all I can say today is, don't you fall under delusion where even God's going to delude your mind. Get saved when? And if you're saved here this morning, thank God, thank Jesus. That's why He came. Folks, this is so important because what lies in the future in God's program and in His timing will come to pass. And these are things that we must deal with, because if we don't deal with them, we're under the deception of God's adversary, Satan, and under his delusive effects that will lead us to a home with him for eternity in a place called hell. That's the seriousness of this, because here's what it says in verse 12, that they all might be, in the King James, it uses the word damned. The word damned means what? Judged. That they might all be judged who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Folks, we're out of time for today, but do you get the point of all this? There's big stuff coming, big things coming as Jesus' second advent approaches. Whenever that may be, even if it's 1,000 years away, I don't know God's perfect timing, but I believe that much of the evidence of Scripture says that it is near. You could read Matthew 24 even. We'll study that when we come back. He says, this generation shall not pass. In other words, the generation that saw the restoration of a nation called Israel shall not pass until these events be fulfilled. Folks, Israel was established in 1948. I went to Wilton, do the math. If you were born in 1948, how old would you be today? I know the math because I was born later than that. Let's see, you'd be 75 years old. And the average age of man, according to Psalm 90, is 70 years, and if by grace, 80. Now granted, some people make it to 100. A few made it like 107. Folks, do the math. Jesus is coming again. And to that I say, hallelujah, praise God. Are you ready for His coming? Amen. Let's take our hymnals and stand. I'm sorry we didn't have more time. 496. 496. Stand if you're able. Folks, this is a day, once again, to consider our position with Jesus Christ and to consider what is on the roll or the time of the future events that are to come. And today is a day we want to hear to stand and fight. Well, that's true. But today's the day to surrender to Jesus rather than to be defeated when He comes again with the word that He speaks out of His mouth. Have you surrendered to Jesus today? If not, the hour is, you know, it's imperative and you got time. I mean, if I had gone on another 5 minutes, you were all so kind, you'd have said, oh, Pastor, that was great, even though you might not have thought that. But you've got time to surrender to Jesus today if you never had. Make the time today. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. Have you done this? I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. As we close, if you have a question about this today, I would love to talk to you, and there's others here as well that would. Don't leave today without surrender, full surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Lynn Paris, will you dismiss us in prayer, please?